may head out to Children's Church, and the others may watch them. That's always the fun part. Liz, did you leave this up here? Are you missing something? Did you miss something? I will hang this here just in case you want it later on. Hopefully nothing happens. Well, I enjoy watching your kids. And that little girl over there was animated. Whose girl is that? Where are the Uphams? I know whose girl it is. A couple years ago, my son and I went archery hunting, and we got out of the truck, and we started towards his stand was first, and we went a couple hundred yards. Well, a couple hundred yards, and I let him go. It was dark, obviously, in the morning, and he went up to his stand, and I continued on to my stand, and I climbed up my stand and got all set. I was all excited until I looked around, and I had forgotten my glasses. I forgot that. And a couple years ago, I was headed down to Chester. There is a Chestertown. I was headed down to Chester County, and my friend couldn't stay the whole day, so he followed me in the truck. I'll let you guess who my friend is. I don't want to name his name, but he was behind me, so it was dark again, and we got about halfway down there, and I saw these lights flashing, and I thought, what the world's going on? And so I pulled over. He came up, and he had forgotten his boots. He had sneakers on. He forgot his boots, and it was cold out. Well, sometimes we miss things, we overlook things. How many have sent out Christmas cards? My wife was busy last night. She even handed me a few to finish up. And how many are concerned that they'll miss somebody? Did we get this? How many have ever sent out invitations to a wedding? You send out invitations to this. You send out thank you notes. You're baking something, and the last thing you want to do is miss something in the ingredients. This morning, as we look at our culture, did you miss something? And that's a good question to ask on a Sunday morning right before Christmas. How many know that Christmas is this week? Okay, this is a brain check, okay? I am here. Are you here? The brain. It's Christmas. So with so much going on at this time of the year, chances are we'll overlook some important things. And some of you will, and you'll find out, oh, I can't believe I forgot the gift. I forgot to wrap it. Some of you will do that. How many anticipate that? And go ahead and anticipate it, then you won't panic. You say, I knew I would forget that. Anyways, one thing that we usually do when we have Christmas, we have two portions of Scripture that we read. One is in Luke chapter, go ahead, 2, and the verses 1 through 20, and Thursday evening, Marty is going to read that for us, and I appreciate that. Thursday evening is Christmas Eve. How many knew that? Okay. How many will get to bed about 2 a.m. Christmas Day? Some of you will do that. I am so glad all of our kids are grown up and we don't have that problem or that blessing anymore. But one of the things that we do is we get to Matthew and we start at verse number 18. But Matthew doesn't start with verse number 18. He starts with verse what? Go ahead. Verse 1. And so this morning, what I want us to do is try to figure out why do we eliminate verses 1 through 17? Are we missing something? Is there something in verses 1 through 17 that is an integral part of the Christmas scene? And so this morning, I'm just going to read through this. I don't preach long.
Yeah, right.
But I want to just go through this. I want to understand what we're doing. And so follow along if you would. I'll read it. You can just follow along. The book of the genealogy of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so the first thing is a genealogy. Now, how many know what a genealogy is? Okay. I see the two guys on TV and they're all excited. All I have to do is plug in my mother's name and it tells me who I am and where I came from. You know what? I really don't have any interest in knowing where I came from. I might be find something that I really don't like. How many have the same fear? Okay. You know, yeah. I know there's some schnooks back there. I just have to look far enough and I really don't need to know. But a genealogy is where you came from. And so, Who are they interested in? Jesus the Christ, okay? And how many are interested in him this way? Well, that's what the season's all about, right? At least for you and I. And so here we go, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So the author steps back a couple hundred years, maybe even a thousand years. He steps back to the son of David. How many know who David is? Yeah, you read the Psalms, you read the writings of David. Wonderful guy, most of the time, okay? The son of Abraham, he even goes back further to Abraham. How many know who Abraham is? You've never met him, but you've read the name before. Okay, we got that. Now, we start on a long list of people. Some of them, thumbs up. Some of them, thumbs down. So you got thumbs up, thumbs down. If you want to play the game to keep you awake, that'd be fine. Let's go ahead. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. So far, I'm okay. Got a little problem with Judah. What's your problem with Judah? Well, see, Judah, if you look, his brothers, they're the ones that sold Joseph into slavery. And not only that, Judah's sort of a schnook. Look at this. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Well, that's not his wife. That's his daughter-in-law. What the world's happening? Judah had three sons. The first two got bumped off by God. He promised the third son that he would be going to Tamar, his former, well, his daughter-in-law. Time come, Tamar found no husband. Tamar dresses herself as a prostitute, sits alongside the road in a tent. Judah comes by after his wife had died. He looks at her. He says, this would be interesting. He visits her. How many know do I have to explain visit? Okay, you know what visit means. He visits Tamar. He has no clue who she is. He gets a call later on, Judah, Tamar is pregnant. Oh, I can't believe she's pregnant. Bring her out. Let's stone her. And she brings out the evidence to prove that he's the father. This is a sordid story, isn't it? Yeah. So the Christmas story, it has this kind of stuff in it. These are real people, just like you and me. Now, I've never done that, but they're real people, just like they're schnooks, some of them. Well, let's move on. Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot, Boaz. Good or bad? Good guy. Boaz is a good guy. In fact, I don't think there's a bad thing said about Boaz in the scriptures. Good guy. Solomon begot Boaz by, Rahab. That means that Boaz is the son of harlot. How many know their scriptures? Well enough to say Rahab is not, she's in your genealogy. Yeah, you might want to hide that one, okay? You got an eraser? Just move her. But God doesn't. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Ruth, what's her problem? She's a Gentile. Now, I want you to notice something else here. Now, this is instructional. Some of you want fluff. We'll get some fluff this morning. But some of this is really interesting. Notice, Judah begot Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Salmon begot Boaz. But it doesn't keep on going. It says, by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed. Yes, but by Ruth. You see what I'm saying? These are man, man, and that's the way the lineage went. Man, man. But then they've got to include, God includes Rahab, he includes Ruth, and there's a couple other ones in here that we might want to eliminate from our genealogy. Now again, David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now who would that be? Bathsheba. Got a problem there. How many know the problem? You got the problem? Do I need to explain it to you? Okay, you got it. Most of you know what we're talking about. And again, Solomon got Rehoboam, bonehead down. That's the down. And you can look him up on your own. Rehoboam got Abijah begot Asa. Oh, Asa's a good king. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat's good. Jehoshaphat begot Joram. Joram begot Uzziah. Who else is next? Uzziah begot Jotham. Jotham begot Ahaz. Ahaz begot Hezekiah. Good or bad? Good guy, okay? Hezekiah begot Manasseh. Bad guy. Bum. He's a bum. Led Israel for 52 years. And he led them into idolatry. This guy himself murdered his own children on an altar. His sons. Now, but he is in the genealogy. And there's a reason for this. Manasseh begot Ammon, Ammon begot Josiah. Oh, Josiah, good little king Josiah, okay? Good guy, has a few bad things, but we'll ignore that. Josiah begot Jeconiah and his brothers about the time they were carried into Babylon. Jeconiah and his two brothers, again, all three of them were schnooks. One of them, I think maybe even two of them, only ruled in Jerusalem for 11 months before God said, okay, guys, you're out of here. This is bad news. Get out of here, okay? What else happens? Well, we continue on. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconiah begot Shealtiel, Shealtiel begot Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begot Abiah, Abiah begot Eliakim, Eliakim begot Azor, Azor begot Zadok, Zadok begot Achim, Achim begot Eliab. I don't know any of these guys. Any, you know any of these guys? Yeah, I don't recognize. We'll just read through them real quick. Eliab begot Eleazar. This is not the Eleazar in the Old Testament, okay? Eleazar begot Methan, and Methan begot Jacob. Ah, Jacob, but it's not the same Jacob that we started with. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Now, why is that highlighted? It's interesting. All of these, Azor, man, begot Zadok, man. Now, obviously, he didn't give birth to him, okay? He was the father of him, okay? It's, if you want to get technical, it's the genitive of source. That's where he came from. He came from the loins of his father. How many have ever recognized that? Say, you've read that. He came from the loins. That's what they're saying. But this is interesting, verse 16. And we'll look at this briefly later. And Jacob begot Joseph. He's the dad. He's the guy. Let's put me. He's the guy. The husband of Mary. And they weren't married yet, but they were considered husband and wife. It's not like being engaged in our culture, okay? They were as good as married. Legally, they were bound to each other. Of whom? Of whom? Of whom is in the feminine. And what that means to you and me is that Jesus Christ is born of Mary. I think there's a song like that, isn't there? And Christ was born of Mary. Interesting. Of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ? So, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until Christ are 14 generations. I have been accused of talking too fast, okay? But I know that you can read, and you can probably read faster than me. Now we start the Christmas story.
It's about time!
Well, we're here. Now. And folks, that now, we just go past these words. Now. Now what? Now after we have looked at his genealogy, and again, lest I forget it later on, the genealogy is absolutely imperative. You've got to establish the legal heirship of the Messiah. And it goes the whole way back through the kings, through the line, back to Abraham. Don't miss that. Now, here we are. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, married, it's as good as married, to Joseph, before they came together. Do I need to explain that, before they came together? How many know what that means? Before they came together, okay? If you don't know what it means, Marty will explain it after the service. He'll be standing up front here, okay? He'll take care of that. Before they came together. Now, that means, for those who are of a certain background, that means that at some point they did come together. And you understand that Mary had four other sons, and they're named in Mark chapter number 6, and Mary had at least two other daughters. Mary had at least seven other children. But Jesus the Christ was born first, and he was born of a virgin. And we'll see that as it comes up. We'll be able to fly through the notes here after we get through the scripture, because you're getting everything. Before they came together, she was found with child, genitive of source, of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, godly man, and not wanting to make her a public example, he did not want to embarrass this little girl. Here she is. She's 16 years old. She's pregnant. What an embarrassment. And Joseph had no clue what had happened. All he knew is, you know what? She's been with somebody else. She has come together with somebody else. That's what he knew in his mind. He didn't want to make her a public example. He was minded to put her away secretly. Now, we have a word for that in our culture. What is that called? Go ahead. Divorce. This godly man was so, and Folks, I love Joseph's song. I love some of the songs of Christmas because Joseph struggled with this whole thing. He struggled. He wrestled with this thing. What am I going to do now? I can't believe she did. I don't know what their conversations were like, but Joseph struggled with this whole thing. He needs some help. Well, he's going to get some. Here it goes. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, hey, Joseph, don't be afraid to take to you your Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That's all we know that the angel said. What is Joseph going to do? And she will bring forth a son. Oh, he's not done talking yet. And she will bring forth a son. And you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. This is not just, you know what, I think we'll have Christmas this year. Why don't we do that? Let's do that. No, there is history to Christmas. Lord, through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name, go ahead, Jesus. Now, let's go ahead and look at it. Don't miss the very foundation for the Christmas celebration. We've looked at this. We talked the scriptures. So some of these I'm just going to run past you. Don't miss the very foundation. How many would ever build a house without a foundation? That would be D-U-M-M, right? Now, some of you think, oh, he doesn't know how to spell. Well, no, he's got problems, okay? But that would be dumb. Now, if you say that around the grandkids, we don't use that word. How many get that? You get that? You should. You don't use those words, okay? Christmas is the fulfillment of a promise made a long time ago. The promise has its beginning. We went back to Abraham. But folks, for the Christmas had its promise, the foundation of the promise. You go whole way back to Genesis chapter 3 and resulted from an infamous and unfortunate choice of our ancestors. How do you spell unfortunate choice? Go ahead. That's right. S-I-N. Okay, it was an unfortunate, yeah. We'll color it up a little bit just for the genealogical sake. They sinned. And what does Genesis 3:15, this is the only verse I'm going to look up this morning, the rest are up here. Genesis 3:15, God speaks to Satan the serpent, and he says this, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. Who is the seed? It's the Christ. And intelligent people call this the proto-evangelium. It's the evangelistic message before the evangelistic messenger showed up. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Which one, let me ask you a question, which one would you rather have? Would you have, and the word is crushed really, would you rather have your heel crushed or your head crushed? Okay. How many have an answer? You have an answer? I would rather have my heel crushed. Don't want either. But if I had to take one, see, the heel crushing, that is referring to who? Tell me. The heel crushing is Christ. The head crushing, boom! Yeah! How many have ever stepped on a snake's head? Do you do that? There's something, now ladies, they don't, they run. But guys, we pick them up, or if we really, you know, we crush their heads. Satan, you will get your head crushed. You might bruise his heel. What does the bruising of the heel refer to? Do you know? The cross. You'll bruise his heel. It's going to hurt. It's painful. But you know what? Eventually, Satan, you're going to get your head crushed by the Messiah. Way back in Genesis 3:15, the consequences of their unfortunate choice have been passed on and infected all of humanity. This morning, how many of you have been infected by the choice that was made back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3? How many? Everyone here. Every one of us is a sinner. We are a sinner by nature of our birth, and we prove it by what we do. When we reach a certain age, we begin to know, hey, this is wrong. And we know it. And so this morning, that's not sinful coming out. That's just human, okay? We just put up with that. The promise is passed on through two famed Jewish men, chosen by the Lord, the patriarch Abraham and King David, and a host of others. We've looked at them. The promise culminates in a Jewish child born through this chosen line. Matthew verifies the legitimacy of the promise. He is Messiah King. He is qualified. He is legally qualified to take the throne of Israel. Came through this whole bloodline just to prove that. Christmas is, as a matter of fact, rooted in eternity past, Ephesians and Galatians. God the Father chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. The Son is eternal and uncreated. A good way to tell if a religious group is a cult or if they're Christian is ask them what they think of Jesus. Is He a created being? The people that knock on your door and the people that have a beautiful choir that sings at Christmas time, beautiful choir, no problem with the choir. They believe that Jesus is not who the Bible claims He is. Folks, He is the Son from eternity past. He is the Son, God the Son. The Son is eternally uncreated. God's people long for the day Messiah would come and deliver them. What they couldn't fathom and would not recognize is this, that their greatest enemy was not political. Folks, got an announcement for you this morning. Your greatest enemy is not political. You understand? Your greatest enemy is that S-I-N word. How you respond to what happens to you, the things over which you have control, that's what you're responsible for. The Jewish people, the Gentiles, we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem. We can fix it. Well, sorry. They weren't the only ones looking for Him. God's adversary, the devil, was also intent on finding Him and foiling God's plan for man's salvation. God intentionally veiled His plans so they could not be fathomed until the right time, His time. Folks, why do you think? Now, I don't know this for sure. I cannot prove this. But why do you think that God included people like Rahab and Tamar and Judah and Manasseh, these kind of people? And I want you to think about this. Why do you think God included people like this? I would have never included those people in a genealogy. Right? I mean, you wouldn't have either. And don't say, I'm a nice guy. No, we would eliminate them because they just are not the right kind of people. Well, you know what? God stuck them in there because He uses those kind of people. And also, there was someone else trying to figure out where is the Messiah. And when that Messiah came through Rahab, Satan got off on another path. Because you know what? He sometimes thinks like we do. God would never have His Messiah come through Rahab. God would never have His Messiah come through Tamar. And so Satan, God's enemy, was looking for the Messiah in all the wrong places. And then when the Messiah showed up, guess what Herod did? He sent his soldiers down to Bethlehem, and he scoured the town, probably about 80 boys, they say. He took out, and I don't know how he did it, but he eliminated them. See, at the right time, God sent forth His Son. So, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. The Son existed in eternity past. Don't miss the mundane and somewhat surprising characters. As we read through the genealogy, we notice a diversity of people. There are some delightful folks you and I would not mind finding in our own genealogical record. Abraham, Boaz, Ruth, nice people. Solomon, he's got his quirks, but he's fine. Asa, Uzziah, Hezekiah, Josiah, and so forth. They're not bad. There are also some unsavory characters in the genealogy. Jacob. Jacob was a, go ahead, deceiver. Judah, we already talked about him. Tamar, Rahab, Rehoboam, Manasseh. Folks, there are some unsavory characters in this genealogy. As we ponder our own humanity, we're forced to admit the similarities. God includes and uses a variety of people to accomplish His plans and purposes, both the respectable and the unsavory. Which one are you, respectable or unsavory? Don't raise your hand. Pastor, that's a little personal. Well, I used to be unsavory, but now I'm okay. You know what? It's amazing. God uses all sorts of people to accomplish His plan. None of these folks are perfect. and most have significant faults and failures, some of which have been made public knowledge. It's amazing. You know, what amazes me is God writes this stuff in Scripture. Genesis 38, the story about Judah and in this whole thing. It's like, why in the world would God write that down? Must have been important. You know what? God includes it all. How many are thankful that God doesn't write a book about your sins? Woo! Don't need it. No, I wouldn't read it. You know what? The past is behind me, and that's okay. I'm done with it. How many have good memories from the past? You don't have any good memories from the past? Oh, let me give you a hug. No. Most of us have good memories from the past. How many have some memories that they'd like to forget but find it difficult? Yeah, most of us do. Folks, the line of the Messiah came through real people just like you and me. You know what? I can say unequivocally that God loves every person on the planet. How do you know that? The book says so. John 3:16 for starters. Let's move on. Don't miss the essential vocabulary of Christmas. We likely grow weary of viewing and hearing the frivolous and meaningless songs, sayings, and specials of a cultural Christmas. I put that up there so I wouldn't forget it. My wife and I went to Kaima on, how many know Kaima? You know Kaima? We go to Kaima, okay? Kaima, it's a place you eat, restaurant. We go in, we sit down, and they start the music up. And, oh my word, it's good stuff. It's like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's like other stuff. And then they threw, you know, other Christmas songs. And it was sort of delightful. It was unexpected. I walked into the post office the other day, stood in line for half an hour, but I walked into the post office, and you know what? I looked around there. I could not see any place where it said the word, go ahead, Christmas. I had enough time. I scoured it. Now, you know what? We have a culture that is seeking to eliminate any vestiges of Christ and Christmas. Now, there's not much we can do about that in the culture, but there is something we can do about it in our own personal lives and in our own Christmases. Well, there, and again, I love some of the, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. You know, how many of you have dreamed of a white Christmas? I am dreaming of a white Christmas. How many are dreaming of a white Christmas? Don't tell Pastor Jim that, okay? He'll pray for 2 weeks. But folks, I love the songs of Christmas. What really bothers me is when they eliminate any vestige of the real Christmas. I love some of the specials for Christmas, okay? Elf. Any takers on Elf? Okay? Anything, Ernest Saves Christmas. Yeah, there are some dumb shows that I like to watch. It's Christmas. Now, my daughters love to watch one every time they get together at Christmas time. Ah, what is it? White Christmas. Ah, I've seen that thing 6 times. Not by choice either. Folks, and you know what? Some of these things are fine. But you know what? What I really want is the culture to understand, at least recognize. Yeah, we understand that the real reason for Christmas is Jesus the Christ. We understand that. And we'll give that to you. No, that's not going to happen. The ACLU will make sure. Freedom From Religion Foundation will make sure. American Atheists will make sure. That if you would have told the Founding Fathers, we have an organization coming up in the 20th century called American Atheists, they would have said, that is a paradox. How many know what a paradox is? That's a paradox. They would have said to you, how can you be American and atheist? And in their minds, it ain't going to happen. Because everyone, I'm not saying they're Christians, every one of them believed that there was a God to whom they were responsible. American Atheists. Well, cultural Christmas. Sadly, they are bereft of the real meaning of Christmas, even though they proclaim to know it and show it. They often leave the singers, speakers, and viewers with a sense of emptiness and a longing that turns into frustration. What is the greatest time of the year for suicide? You know? January, February. It comes right after Christmas. Because we get so excited, so looking forward to all this, and then we get through Christmas, and guess what? There is a letdown. Because all of the things that we were excited about are gone. And none of them satisfied unless you know Christ. Well, we find out we need to be reminded of the vocabulary of the first Christmas. Again, we've talked about some of these when we look through the scripture. Let me go through them quickly. This child is supernatural. His conception is abnormal. The of whom is feminine, of whom was born. No male involvement. He was born of the Holy Spirit, indicating miraculous conception. What's the vocabulary word? Conception. His name is Jesus. Though a common name, it took on a special meaning. Many parents hoped their sons would be the deliverer of Israel. This one was the only one who was destined and qualified to do so. He is purposely designated the Christ, the Messiah of Israel, Mashiach. His objective was to save his people from their sins. Sin is something we rarely talk about or even associate with Christmas. Now, I did notice in one of the hymns that you picked this morning, we sang about sin. But folks, his primary objective, here it is, I think I wrote it down, but that is his stated objective from the get-go. From the time in eternity past when this whole Christmas event was projected, his goal was to save his people from their sins. Maybe that's why people sort of push Jesus away Christmas, because his very purpose in coming is to save people from their sins. The term fulfilled means exactly what it says. God had promised a deliverer, and he made good on his promise. Here is your deliverer. The virgin is often sung about, but rarely thought about. We wonder if people even realize or believe what they're singing. How many ever wondered that? I mean, now, some high schools, you can still sing Christmas carols, okay? Even Charlie Brown has been ushered out of the scene because one of the Linus, is it? Quotes Luke 2:11, for unto you is born this day. And I think he quotes more than that. No, we can't have that. We can't have that. Well, the name Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. What does that mean? Well, it means this. This child whose birth we celebrate is God in flesh. How's that go? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead, see? Hail the incarnate deity. We've sung that. You're not forced to love and worship God or even believe he exists. You're invited to examine the truth about Christmas. You know what? Nobody is forced to love or worship God. You know what? You can even say, I don't believe in him. But you have that option. Suppose you were invited to choose one of four gifts. Are you with me? Following? Here are the four gifts. I got this. Which gift would you choose from a tract? Why Christianity? Good stuff. Here are your four options. First option, you could have as a gift the original Mona Lisa. Woo, baby. I mean, I'd sell it right away. What do I need with a Mona Lisa? The keys to a brand new Lamborghini. I've already have one of those. I know you do, but just pretend. $1 million in cash. That's your third option. How many are salivating? Go ahead. Or you can have a parachute. Let me do that again for one of our members. Or you can have a parachute. What? How did that get in? Before you make your choice, be aware that you must jump out of the plane in which you are riding at 10,000 feet. Oh, you'd like to review those choices again? Here they are. The original Mona Lisa, a Lamborghini, $1 million cash, or the parachute. So, which one did you choose? How many say that's a dumb question? Go ahead. Let's go ahead and say it. That's a dumb question. Ready? That's a dumb question. Go ahead. The kids aren't going to criticize you. Go ahead. Say it again. Ready? That's a dumb question. Well, why? Yeah. Which one did you? Well, I know what you're choosing. You have a brain. When you choose your belief system, be aware that you will step off of planet Earth someday. And you will. You may think not, but everybody on planet Earth will get their turn to jump out of the plane. Everybody on planet Earth, everybody in this auditorium, you'll get your chance to jump out of the plane. Now, what do you want to be hanging on to?
I'll take the Mona Lisa, man. I like that, man.
Oh, good. Woo!
Lost that one. I'll take the Lamborghini.
You got just the keys.
crash. Oh, that hurt.
And so, folks, there's only one intelligent choice. and you picked it. The things that seem important now will not be. I'm almost finished. It's a good thing. I think it was the crash of the Lamborghini that really got me. Now, this is on purpose here. Here's a sobering thought. Here it is. Those who have labored relentlessly and tirelessly to remove Christ from Christmas, both individuals and organizations, will be relieved to know that where they're going, they will not have to put up with all this nonsense. Where they're going, there will be no Christ. There will be no Christmas. Thank you, Marty. You are a delightful. There will be, I say this kiddingly, there will be no water. There will be no Christmas. There will be no hope. There will be no joy. There will be no singing. And certainly, there will be no celebration. I feel like I'm at the doctor's. Christmas is an annual reminder every year. Same stuff. I hate this time of year. Are there people that say that? Yeah. Christmas is an annual reminder of God's gracious gift of forgiveness and salvation in Jesus, the most important gift ever given. Have you received God's gift? And see, that's the question. That's the most important question. Let me read to you at the end of this little booklet. And if you're here and you're not sure of your eternity, this booklet, I will give it to you. If you say, Pastor, could I have that booklet? I am not sure. I will give this to you. But he comes to the end and he says, this is a prayer that you might express your faith. Let me just go ahead and read it. Dear God, today I turn away from all my sins. Go ahead and name them. And I put my trust in Jesus Christ alone as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me. Change my heart and grant me your gift of everlasting life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me just read that again. It's okay. It just doesn't take long. Dear God, today I turn away from all my sins and I put my trust in Jesus Christ alone as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me. Change my heart and grant me your gift of everlasting life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How has it impacted your life? And folks, I think that's a critical question for you and I who live in a culture who rejects Christ. And that's fine. I can't control them. But here I am. I have placed my faith and trust in Christ. How has that impacted my life? Has it changed the way I think? Has it changed the things I love? Has it changed the way I speak? Has it changed the way I behave? And folks, if it hasn't done anything to change you, my question is, do you really know Christ? Do you really know Christ? For by grace you have been saved. Paul writes, this is the last slide. Paul writes to Ephesians who have trusted Christ as their Savior. And this is what he writes to them. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of works. Next few words. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we, believers, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Read it with me, please. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Every time I read indescribable, what do I think of? Go ahead. Snickers bar. Right? How many know that? Oh, I'll explain it later. Let's read it again. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Christmas is about Jesus. You and I know that. Our goal is to live it out in a convincing way, to let people know. I don't want to be obnoxious. I'm not going to go singing Christmas carols in, you know, the bar. But where I am, I want to make a difference. I want people to know that I love Jesus. I want people to know that Christmas is a special time for me. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the Word of God. Father, I trust that you have spoken to each of our hearts this morning. Lord, again, we live in a culture that has sought to eliminate, erase everything to get rid of the real meaning of Christmas. Father, I pray that you would not allow us to get sucked into that mentality. Lord, help us to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in a way that would announce that we love him more than all the stuff. Father, bless us. Make us a blessing. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.